Acts chapter 9, and we're going to begin with verse 31. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Then had the church rest throughout all of Judah and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt in Lydda, and there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick with palsy. And Peter said unto Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately, and all that dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which being interpreted is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And as Lydda was nigh Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose, went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning to the body said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and the widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word today. Just guide and lead us through it now. Just take us step by step as we can enjoy your precious word, learn from it, come to know you as our Savior through it. And by us coming to you and trusting in you as our Savior, then our life truly begins. We can live and enjoy your presence and your power each and every day. Enjoy your wisdom. Enjoy your strength as we face this wicked world, and as we face the challenges of the day, and we just ask that you give us the strength that we need, and we know, Father, that you are faithful to do just that. So give us your power and strength and wisdom. Touch every heart today. Speak to our hearts through this word, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I wanted to kind of start back with that verse 31. We've actually covered that, but just in a little bit of a summary, we find that Paul has returned now to Tarsus. We read the scripture verses where he will meet back up with Peter again at a later time, but right now we're going to transfer from verse 31 to verse 32. We move from Saul, which his name is still called Saul here. We know it to be Paul, and we kind of leave him, and then we turn and look at Peter and see what Peter is doing and what is going on in the furtherance of the gospel with the Apostle Peter. But first of all, here in verse 31, it says, then had the church, and it's got churches there, but it's actually the church because it's the church body. It's the Christian body. It's all the believers. It's not multiple church buildings and church fellowships, but it is speaking to the church, to the body, just like today we're speaking to you. And if you're born again, if you're saved, you've come by faith to Jesus Christ, and you are here, you are a member of the church. And so that's what we're talking about here. And so it seems as though that now that Saul, even though there were many that went out persecuting the church, it seems like now that Saul has been saved and he has turned from persecuting to proclaiming, we find that it is things have settled. And it seems as though that's the way here in verse 31 throughout all of Judah, Galilee, and Samaria. They were edified. We talked about that word edified, to be emboldened, to be a house builder is the definition of that word edified there. And walking in the fear of the Lord. And so that word walking there is conduct, is manner of life. And so we come. And so walking in the fear of the Lord. And then this part I just dearly love, because we enjoy the comfort of the Holy Spirit. But when Jesus said that when I go, I'm going to send the Comforter, we kind of lose that name and that title, the Comforter. We know that he is present. We know that he guides and leads us. But for us to remember and think about the Holy Spirit being our comforter, our strength, our power. And right here it clearly says it, and so we need to remember that. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit within our hearts and know the comfort and the power. And because of this, when the church finds rest in the Lord, when Christians are edified and walk in the fear of the Lord, and when they are comforted by the Holy Spirit, there's only one thing going to happen, and that is the church is going to grow. The church is going to grow. Folks are going to hear and listen to the Lord Jesus. And we as believers, as true believers, our purpose is to go into the world and share the gospel, that we can rescue the perishing and care for the dying, because that's our purpose, because they are dead in their trespasses and sins. Now, we have moved now from Saul. Saul's gone. Things are kind of settled down a little bit. The church is growing. Folks are getting saved. And Peter heads down to a little place called Lydda here. And when we look at this place, and we're going to find two wonderful miracles that we're going to talk about. This section of Scripture from verse 32 down through 43 tells us of two miracles that the Lord Jesus, through Peter, through the Spirit of God, was able to heal one and raise another from the dead. And what a beautiful story as we read through both of these stories. And Aeneas, we find that in verse 33 here, there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick with palsy. Now, before we go to that point, why we find as Peter went down to visit, to grow the church in Lydda. And so we should desire to do the same. Our purpose is that when we come together, we should always be learning the Word of God and growing in the Word of God, because that's the reason God has established the local church, that we can come together and we can grow together, and then we go out from these four walls and share the gospel with the folks that are around us, the folks that cross our paths. And sometimes it takes quite a period of time to reach those that are family members, or reach those that are neighbors to us. But we need to continue to give that witness and that testimony, that they'll see the difference and come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Peter went down to Lydda, and he did it to to check on the born-again believers and see how they were doing. That's located between Joppa and Jerusalem. And if you look on the map, we kind of did a little geography lesson last week because Joppa is always all the way over on the sea. And it's coastal, and then Jerusalem, and this is between there. It's about 12 miles southeast of Joppa is where this little community of Lydda is located. And we find Aeneas here. He was sick, had been kept in his bed 8 years, was sick with palsy, the scripture says. And if you look up that word palsy, it can mean paralyzed, helpless, feeble. And so basically Aeneas was unable to do anything. And so as we find Peter coming down to the church, he finds this man, the Lord, I believe, without question. And we talk about this, that the Lord will open the door and he will lead us to folks that we need to share the gospel with. And we need to seek his will and seek his way, that Lord, open the door. And sometimes our timing is not the Lord's timing. We desire that so many folks will be saved, and yet the Lord has not, the Spirit has not had the opportunity to convict that heart, to open that door, that when we share the word, that word will be to them so they can hear it and so they can listen and they can respond. And so please just continue every day to pray, Lord, send me in a direction and open the hearts of the people that are going to be around me today. And many times it doesn't even mean that you'll have the opportunity to share the gospel. It may just be something that you say or something that has touched their heart with your life that's going to change them, and that opportunity is going to open up. And so please be patient, trust in the Lord, ask the Lord to direct you through those times. And I believe that Peter, he didn't just say, tell the rest of the apostles in Jerusalem, says, I need a little vacation here. I'm going to run down to Lydda and see what's going on. I don't think it was that way at all. I think the Lord had directed him and says, I think you need to go down and you need to check on the saints down at Lydda to see how they're doing. And of course, the Lord knew that there was going to be this man, Aeneas, there that had great needs. If you'll think about this man that is paralyzed, is helpless, is feeble, we can sure look at that as we are without the Lord Jesus. A person is paralyzed. He's feeble. He's helpless without the Lord Jesus. And so if you've rejected the Lord Jesus, if you've decided that you don't need the Lord Jesus, that is your condition. Now, the physical condition of this man, they could see. He had been bedridden for 8 years. There was no question what his condition was. But people can't see into the heart, into the lives, the true lives of the lost. Because if they could, if we could, we would see that very thing. We would see someone that is really sick and feeble and paralyzed, and they need the Lord Jesus. And I think sometimes we look at people that are successful in the world, and we think they're not going to, what need do they have? They have as great a need as any other person. They have a need to find the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And so we need to kind of recognize that and help us to see that. And so a person that's utterly helpless and will be utterly helpless until the new birth. Until the new birth. And we need to understand Romans 8:7 tells us, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. There's nothing that the world, we speak to them and we're speaking to them from a spiritual standpoint, and we love the Lord Jesus. We know his saving power and we're sharing that with them, and we can't understand how come they don't see it. Well, they cannot see it until they say yes to Jesus. So we can't change their mind. Don't even try to change their mind on some doctrinal differences that we have until they find Jesus as their Savior. Then the Spirit of God within their heart and you applying the word, teaching the word to them and enjoying, then they're going to grow and they're going to see that difference. But until then, Jeremiah 13:23 makes it a little clearer. It says, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or can a leopard change his spots? No. And that's the same thing when you're trying to take someone that is dying in their sin and have not had a Savior to come into their life and change them. They are not born again. There is no hope for them. No hope. And so please, that we understand the need to share the gospel. Our Lord Jesus left heaven's glory and he came down here to this God-forsaken earth that he might deliver those that are paralyzed in sin. And our Lord has done that. And so please that you listen to him and call upon him. Now we find here that Aeneas had a miracle performed. In verse 34, Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Jesus can and will make anyone whole that calls upon him. But if you do not call upon him, if the Spirit of God, if you continue to reject the Spirit of God as he is convicting your heart and calling upon you, if you continue to do that, you will be a broken, paralyzed person and just dying in your sin. You need Jesus as your Savior. You need to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that he is the only one that can make you whole and invite him into your heart to save you. How long does it take for our Lord and Savior to make us whole? Just the split second that you call upon him, just like this Aeneas as Peter called upon him and he says, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, arise, and he did immediately. It says, Jesus Christ make thee arise, make thy bed, and he lifted his pallet and arose immediately, totally and completely healed. And that's what happens when we're born again. We have been taken from death into life. We have been made whole because of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful opportunity we have to be made whole. Just as quickly as this man was healed, was made whole, the sinner is set free of sin. Yes, we have the old flesh, and that old flesh keeps creeping up and keeps bothering us and pestering us. But in God's eyes, praise the Lord, that he looks down, he sees a perfect clean vessel. And how he can do that, I don't know. How he can look at me and say, you've been made whole, you've been cleansed, your sins are taken away, and he never sees another sin again. And that's our Lord and Savior, and so just praise his precious name. Let's look back at a couple of scripture verses that are really a blessing. One is Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 and 29 concerning what our Lord wants us to do. Chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, very familiar scripture verses to us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is the only place that you can find rest. People try to buy beautiful places down at Bagnell Dam because I need to get away. I need to get rest. And so they leave here and leave on Friday night and come back on Monday morning or on Sunday morning. And that's going to give me rest. And the only thing they find out is they're more wore out than they were before they went. It rest is something that has to come inside your heart. And you can find that rest anywhere, anytime. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, I have always looked at this verse of Scripture as, when you have bound two oxen together, and they, you know, he has taken the burden from us. So often, and so I look to see what that Greek word yoke means, and it actually means a balance, a scales. And so our Lord is taking and he's lifting our burdens away from us. He's taking our burdens away, just as sharing with a yoke between two animals, yes, but it is greater than that because he is taking and all the weight of our sin and all the weight of our burdens that we have, he is taking away, and that beam just moves around. It lightens our load. And what a wonderful opportunity that we have to walk with the Lord Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. That's what a believer has. The world can beg and plead and everything else and please it. We talked about this morning in the Sunday school class there. We have been by the blood, where the plague was that made the Nile and all the vessels filled with blood. And then we've moved from there, and we've found some frogs, and we've found some lice, and we've sent some all good things. And every one of these, as we've talked about, are gods of Egypt that they bowed down to, and also Israel did too. I believe that they bowed down to the gods of Egypt, and our God had to show Israelites and all of Egypt that I am more powerful than all. And so as we look and understand the need to trust in our Lord and walk with him each day, John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. John chapter 7. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And so as we look at the power and the opportunity that we have to never thirst again, please, as the Egyptians and Israelites, they worship so many different gods. See that we don't bow down to the gods of this world, but we bow down and serve and praise our God, please. So each time here, this is what happened when this man was made whole. His burdens were lifted. He was able to walk and serve the Lord. And he recognized how it came about. It was because of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus saves the worst of sinners, which we know that we're all equal. But he will save anyone if we'll just come by faith to him. As we look down at verse 35 here, all that dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. What a testimony. This man had laid on his bed for 8 years, and now he has raised up and made whole. And when God performs a miracle as these, we find that it is done, that he is honored and praised. And look at the result of this man being healed. It turned to the Lord. And the scripture tells us all. All. It's like Nineveh. When Jonah shows up to Nineveh and preaches the word from the top down, we're saved. This scripture says, all that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. What a tremendous revival. Now we find the next step here is that a couple of things here that we need to work on, each and every one of us need to, and we find that as this man began to walk and gave his testimony of what had happened to him, the miracles of salvation came into these two communities. But we should have such a testimony. Colossians 4, 5 says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without. And so those that are lost, we need to walk in wisdom. 1 Thessalonians 4:12, walk honestly towards them that are without. And 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, have a good report of them which are without. That is very difficult to do many times for us to have the witness and the testimony that we need out in our communities, and we just need to pray that the Lord, it is not something that I can do, it's not something you can do. It's got to be the work that the Lord has done. And it is an ongoing work through all of our life, from the day we get saved till the day the Lord takes us home. It is a process of cleaning, just like in the tabernacle. You get saved at the altar, but then the first thing we come to is that laver, and then we go on into feeding upon the Word and be strengthened. But we always come back to that laver. We always need that cleansing. We always need that washing that we can be stronger each and every day. We find now that Peter was close to, as we spoke, close to Joppa, and so a certain disciple named Tabitha. You know, we hear the word disciple, we think it's a man, but here we have a wonderful servant. We had first Aeneas, that now is a servant of the Lord, testifying of the saving power and the strengthening power of the Lord Jesus. Remember, we're in the transition period between the birth of the church, the Old Testament, and the birth of the church. And that's the reason that God has given through Peter. It's not a special power Peter has. It's a power that the Spirit of God is using through Peter to heal these people. And this power goes away with the apostles. It does not continue. But here, it is during this transitional period that these things are taking place to show the power of God, to show the victories that are won. And so Peter then moves from Lydda, and he comes down to Joppa. And we find now in verse 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which being interpreted is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And so when we look at the, we find, number one, Joppa is probably one of the main seaports for the nation of Israel. And so he comes over to Joppa, and as the Lord once again directs, and he finds Tabitha. Now, Tabitha is said as a very common name. It's Syriac in its nationality and its purpose, but it means gazelle or antelope. And it's normally was given to someone that was very beautiful. And then Dorcas means the same in the Greek, a very graceful and beautiful person. And so we have that meaning in Dorcas here. And we find in this verse 36 who this woman, what she was made of. She was a wonderful servant of the Lord. This word alms deeds, as we look at that, the alms deeds means that she was a servant to the poor, that she was always there to lift up and to help the poor. And so she was very well known, showing great acts of kindness to the poor. And she was known within the city for her good works. And what a testimony that this Christian lady had. We are not sure because we find here in verse 37, it came to pass in those days that she was sick and that she died, and whom when they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber, forasmuch as Lydda was nigh Joppa. And the disciples had heard that Peter was there in Lydda. They sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay, but come to them. Peter arose and came very quickly. But as we look at this, we're not really told why that they wanted Peter down to Joppa. Did he know Dorcas? Had he met her? Had he led her to the Lord Jesus at some point in time? We have no idea. Did they believe, since he was so close, that he would love to come down and meet with those folks, the believers that was there? We don't know. We're not told why that Peter went. It's pretty clear to see that it was not to raise her from the dead, because they had prepared her for burial. And so they would not have done that if they said, we get Peter down here, he's going to raise her up, because we've just heard what he has done over to Aeneas here, and so with him. So, you know, let's get him down here and he's going to take care of this. I don't believe that was it at all. I think that they thought Peter, because everyone was so sorrowful for her loss, that Peter could come down and bring some comfort to these people. And I think that's the reason that they called him down there. And so we find that it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, and they prepared her. For as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, the disciples heard Peter was there, sent unto him two men. He came. Verse 39, then Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. They were so proud of what she had done. Oh, she has done this and she has done that. What a testimony. What a testimony of a believer that the good things that they had seen with her, how that she had touched so many lives here. And so we find that at this point in time, Peter puts them aside. And we know, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the 26th verse, whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, or one member is honored, then all members rejoice. And that's the joy of the church, that if you're suffering, then we're suffering with you. And if you're rejoicing, then we can rejoice with you. What a joy we have and what a strength we have because of that. Well, we find here that Peter comes, he finds the condition of everybody. Everybody's broken heart over the loss of this servant. And in verse 40, then Peter put them all forth. In other words, he sent them out of the room. He sent them out of the room. And he prayed unto the Lord. And he turned to the body of Tabitha. And turning to the body of Tabitha, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, presented her alive. What a victory. It was known throughout all of Joppa, and all believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Now, just in a little bit of summary here, we need to recognize something that's very important to you and to me, and that is, who got the honor? Who got the glory? Peter could have set himself up as a god in Joppa that day, in Lydda that day. The miracle was so evident. And Peter, all he had to do was stroll down the streets and say, look what I did. Look what I did. But we see or hear nothing out of Peter. In Lydda, we just find that they turned to the Lord. Who did Peter give the praise and the honor to? He always, continually gave the honor and the praise unto the Lord. Always. He never took the credit. He never took the credit. That's something that's kind of contrary to us a little bit. It's just kind of easy for us to kind of take a little bit of the praise for something that we do. And instead of that, Peter gives us a wonderful example in both cases, with Aeneas and then with Dorcas, because we find that once again, who is honored through this? the Lord is honored. Verse 42, many believed in the Lord. What happened back up in Lydda? And all that dwell in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. What victories we have there. What victories we have as the Lord is praised and honored and folks are saved or born again. And so let's just walk every day and serve the Lord and let the Lord's testimony come out from us. And let the Lord's, his power, his presence, it is very easy for all of us to get in the road of the power of God. And we need to see that, Lord, give me the strength. Do we fail? Most certainly we fail. But the Lord will forgive us, set us back into fellowship, and we begin again. And the Lord will restore us and give us the strength that we need each and every day. Let's see that we be as Peter. When we have the opportunity to share the gospel, we praise the Lord and give him the honor and glory. And then when someone is, these miracles that were performed here, see that we stay out of the light and let Jesus shine. Let him shine. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for what has happened now that Saul, Paul is saved and he's back in Tarsus now for a period of time. And we find Peter again now. He's about to go out and visit the church and see how the folks are growing, because it's our purpose that when we have planted a church or when we have saved an individual, it's our responsibility to see that we are there to pick them up and to grow them and to see that they find the Word of God, that they too may grow and be strengthened. So often, Father, we have ignored your power and your strength, and we try to take care of things on our own. And Father, we know that we can't do it. And so please, Lord, help us always to look to you. And when we do have the opportunity to help someone, let us see that we always turn to you and give you the praise and the honor for it. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to proclaim your word this morning. I just praise you for it. I ask that you just touch every heart today. Bring them to salvation if they're lost, and bring them home if they've wandered. And Father, just give them the strength that they need each and every day to serve you and honor you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.